Good morning and welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 25th of February, 2025. The HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com, to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with the news today, including the current class of the Indiana Ag Leadership Program of Agra Institute, back from a week in Washington, D.C. We'll also learn why there's a spike lately in farm bankruptcies. HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for clouds, and he details moisture and temperatures too. And the Monday market sold off analysis with John Zanker coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
Finding more leaders and voices for agriculture and farm bankruptcies on the rise. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Class 21 of the Indiana Ag Leadership Program was in Washington, D.C. last week to meet with lawmakers and political influencers. The program began in 1983, and it provides individuals involved in ag and related industries with the opportunity to improve leadership skills and develop the expertise needed to provide leadership in public and private service for their businesses and communities.
Personally, for me, just fantastic program. I think it kind of came at the right time in my life. We're kind of transitioning from my dad in his 70s to kind of the next generation.
Doug Mathis is a Class 21 member who farms in northern Indiana's St. Joe County. The last two sessions out in D.C. and at the Indiana State House have focused heavily on policy. Mathis says the program is encouraging him to get involved in leadership beyond the farm, because decisions are made by the people that show up.
This notion then that, you know, I think we heard there at American Farm Bureau that, you know, a representative has 750,000 people and 2/3 of them live in an urban setting. And I just think that that's an interesting dynamic, in that as you're a politician, like, are you going to listen to the 2/3 or the 1/3? But if the 1/3 is providing a very tangible good that the world needs and wants, probably have to listen to that a little bit more.
Mathis recommends the Ag Leadership Program to anyone in Indiana agriculture.
If you want things to be better, you kind of got to go out and invest in yourself. And that would be the same for your business, right? You want your business to be better. You want your farming operation to be better. You're going to invest in it. And so this has just been a great platform to have a personal investment in me. And then you start recognizing that this program also, you know, goes into how it works in your marriage, or talking to your folks, your brother, your sister.
Full disclosure, I'm also in Class 21 of ALP, and I agree wholeheartedly with Doug. If you're interested in learning more about the program, Agra Institute will be hosting networking gatherings around the state throughout the month of March. Find one near you or find the date for the virtual option at HoosierAgToday.com. Farm Bureau says the Chapter 12 bankruptcies across the U.S. last year were up 55% compared to 2023. C.J. Miller reports how one of Indiana's neighbors saw a huge spike in farm bankruptcies.
It's not terribly surprising, but it's always concerning.
And that's Lauren Kuman, lead economist for Michigan Farm Bureau. Here in Indiana, only one farm filed for Chapter 12 bankruptcy in 2024. But in Michigan, they had 12 farms filing for bankruptcy last year. The year before, they had none. Why the spike in farm bankruptcies in the Great Lakes state?
In some areas, we had some tough growing seasons over the past couple of years. We also had challenges in the specialty crop industry, and we have a lot more specialty crops. Michigan has the second most diverse agriculture in the U.S., but those farms have been having a tough time, right? From all the way from import pressures are keeping prices lower, as well as labor costs. Unfortunately, many of the farms, the only way they can find labor is to bring in guest workers from other countries, and they're mandated to pay right around $30 an hour, it works out to, and that's just gotten prohibitively expensive.
Kuhman says the overall increase in farm bankruptcies proves why your lawmakers need to get a new farm bill across the finish line for 2025.
So we're really just calling on Congress to look at that farm bill safety net. It's been kind of pushed down the road here three times, and we're really looking for something to make sure that that safety net's in place for our farmers, as well as there's some disaster funds announced at the end of last year. So those will be really helpful. Now that Secretary Rollins is confirmed, we're hoping those get out quickly and into the hands of our farmer members who really need them, as these numbers are showing.
The good news from the survey is that the total number of U.S. farm bankruptcies are down 64% compared to where they were back in 2019. Check out the full survey at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
At Farm Credit Mid-America, we do more than lend. We lift up our rural communities that we serve, too. From our day-to-day business of supporting farmers to our community investment efforts and scholarships for students, we help local rural communities find their next level. Visit fcma.com/community to learn more about our commitment to communities. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. A lot of clouds around today. We had some moisture work through in the pre-dawn hours, and a little bit of a long or lingering tail from that's probably going to hold on through mid-morning. We can see a few spits and sprinkles yet, but most of the moisture was staying aloft. We are going to be seeing a lot of clouds through today. I won't rule out breaks of sunshine this afternoon as our atmosphere reloads for our next weather system. That one's on track to move through here as we hit tomorrow. A nice frontal complex, low pressure wanting to pass by mostly to our north and west, but that puts us in line for a nice cold front to come through. I think a tenth to three quarters of an inch of moisture with coverage around 75 to 80% of the Hoosier State is likely for tomorrow, and it's probably going to linger into the overnight tomorrow night and maybe perhaps early Thursday, but I think mostly Thursday is just colder with clouds. Behind the frontal boundary, as we kind of already hinted at, colder air comes down from the north and northwest. It's not just for Thursday. This cool air stays for Friday. Might see a secondary batch of precipitation embedded in there briefly Thursday, late afternoon, evening, and overnight. It's going to be mostly hit and miss with 25 to 30% coverage, that's all. One could argue maybe it's a little bit lake enhanced coming across the Great Lakes with strong northwest flow. I don't think I really want to go there just now. We're looking at a reinforcing shot of cold air coming in over the weekend for Saturday and Sunday. The thing is, that's with high pressure, so I think we are partly to mostly sunny for the weekend, even though we're chilly. Our next weather event tries to move in next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe even a lingering tail into early Thursday, but it's a significant rain and thunderstorm maker, especially downstate. Right now, I'm suggesting we could see 2 inches plus of rain in the southern half of Indiana as long as this low continues on the track that we're seeing. It could move farther north. It could move farther south. So lots up in the air, but significant potential for rain Tuesday, Wednesday next week. I'm looking at coverage 100% with half to 2 inch rainfall totals likely. Behind that, we cool down again for the balance of next week, Thursday the 6th, Friday the 7th, and may try and moderate temperatures then as we get into the weekend of the 8th and 9th, but we've also got a low pressure area trying to move towards us there as well. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat, a Monday sell-off. This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Final numbers coming up. We'll begin with market analysis, which I secured from John Zanker at the end of the Monday session. Throughout the trading session, everything down, corn, soybeans, and wheat, never wavering from that, even lower in the overnight session. So, John, where did all that pressure come from?
Well, for soybeans, I think we can point to some improving rain chances in southern Brazil, Argentina. I just saw here a little while ago that the Buenos Aires Exchange raised their projection back up to 49.6 million tons, which, you know, I've been thinking with all the heat and the dryness that their crop could fall down to the 45 million ton area. And saw some other folks, non-Argentine agencies and such, moving the crop down into that 45, 46 range. But, you know, they have had some rains, and there are some decent rains on the way. So taking that back up to 49.6 million tons, if they actually end up there, that's like adding back 169 million bushels. If you look at what Brazil's on their way to doing, could be as much as a 700 million bushel increase over last year. So with Brazil's crop, I believe last year was at 51 million tons, so we're still short of that. But net gain here year on year, we could be back in that 700 million bushel range, Andy. And I think the trade's just starting to kind of think, that might not be so good, especially for the new crop. But export shipments were on the lighter side as expected, but maybe not quite as bad as they could have been at 31.6 for beans. But we're on the downward spiral. Over the last 6 weeks, we've lost 66 million bushels to last year's pace corresponding weeks. So we're seeing some things here that we should be worried about. And as you know, I've not been very friendly beans here for quite a while. And I've been very friendly corn. So taking corn a lot higher and beans lower at the same time, that's just something that doesn't typically happen very often. So we're struggling with that right now. We've actually seen heavier losses in corn than we have soybeans in the last several sessions.
Is it fair to say then that corn is kind of the anchor as the markets go lower right now?
Well, we have the Ag Forum group at the end of the week. They're going to put out their first estimate, or put out the estimate for acreage. I think the hint came with that USDA 10-year baseline estimate. So we're expecting to see a 2 million increase in acreage for corn, similar decrease for soybeans. But there's starting to be, we're thinking that ultimately could be more like 3 to 4 million acre increase in corn. And I've seen some numbers thrown out, 5, 6 million acre increase. So I think that's starting to be a little bit, show some heaviness there. And of course, we have the fund long going into today over 1.7 billion. So there's some things there. And but this isn't the first time that we've gotten into that close to that $5 area. This time we got over it. But the first time we challenged it, we set back 25 cents and over the over those next three sessions. So we probably shouldn't be panicky over this. I still think there's a lot of things out there that could support corn prices.
So your attitude not necessarily changing on corn right now?
No, I like corn. This export shipment and sales pace has just been exceptional and far exceeding expectations. And I think that you get just a 2 million acre increase on Thursday or Friday, whenever they release that, then we have to wait till March 31st for the next acreage report. So I think there's some time to still do some positive things. With the current export pace, we could be looking at an ending crowd as low as 1.3 billion. Let's just say it falls from 1.54 to 1.4 billion. Historically, in the past in the past 6 or 7 years, that kind of carryout's more associated with $6 corn than it is with $5 corn. So I think we'll see a run towards that $5 area versus the December, which a lot of farmers are certainly hoping to see to get some new crop sales started.
John Zanker, Market Analysis. Get John at Risk Management Commodities, 866-837-9027. Now the final numbers. Monday trade, March corn, 482.5, losing 8.75. May dips 8 cents, 497. And July down to 502, a 7.5 cent loss. A dime and a half down on the March beans, 1029, May 1047.5, down 9.75, and July down 9.75, 1063.25. March wheat 11 cents lower, 579, May 593.5, a dime and a half down. Meats went mixed, April live cattle up $1.15, 195.10, and April lean hogs 87.40, down 27 cents. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.